Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where we've been following the events surrounding the healing of the man by the pool of Bethesda. And now as we continue in the fifth chapter of this Gospel, we'll be learning more about the plight of man and the power of God, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
But as we come to the fifth chapter, it says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And so John is following Jesus as he's going around the country and he's ministering, and now once again back in Jerusalem. And now in verse 2 it says, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, the pool was called Bethesda. And Bethesda in Hebrew means the house of mercy. But then we read in verse 5 that there was a certain man who had an infirmity for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered and said to him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So Jesus heals this man. It happened to be the Sabbath day, and these guys, they were upset. You see, according to their traditions, because the law had said you shall do no work on the Sabbath, they had extrapolated out from that just literally hundreds and hundreds of little things that people were to avoid in order to ultimately avoid breaking the Sabbath in any way. And in this place, a place that was actually a rather beautiful place, there were multitudes of infirmed people. People just hoping that somehow they could be touched, that in some way they could be delivered, that they could be healed of their malady, of their infirmity. And as you look at that, we're reminded of the misery that sin has brought into the world. Blind, lame, paralyzed, every malady, every disaster, every harmful or hateful thing has its origin in sin. That's the reality. Indirectly, it's connected back to sin because, of course, none of these things were part of God's original creation. They came in as a result of sin entering into the world. But in some cases, illness can be a direct result of sin. And as we read through the story here, we see that that was really the case with this particular man. Because Jesus says to him after he heals him and he sees him, he says, "Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The inference there is that it was sin that got this man into trouble in the first place. Now think of that. Because he had been in this afflicted condition, the scripture tells us here, for 38 years. The majority of his life has been eaten up by sin. And there he is in that miserable state, and he's not able to get into this pool. This man was neglected. He was forgotten. And he was overlooked in the multitude of these sick people. But notice, he was seen by Jesus. Jesus saw him. He saw his plight. He understood his state. He knew the helpless condition that he was in. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you feel that you've been neglected, forgotten, overlooked in some way. But know this, Jesus sees. He sees your plight. He knows the condition that you're in. He knows the trouble that you're in. And when the Lord sees that, he does something about it. He doesn't just pass by and ignore it. Isn't that wonderful to know? That's a reality. Whatever your plight, whatever your difficulty, the Lord sees it. And in seeing it, he has compassion on you, and he has a plan to do something about it. You might say, well, if that's true, why doesn't it seem like it? Have you ever felt that way? You know, people say, hey, trust the Lord. Don't worry. God's going to help you. And okay, but it doesn't seem like it. There are times when that is our experience. How come things don't seem to change? Or how come things aren't getting any better? Or why am I still in this predicament if the Lord sees me, if the Lord cares about me, if the Lord knows what I'm going through and he's concerned, how come I'm still in the situation that I'm in? Now, this guy was in this condition for a long, long time. So you might ask the question, well, why so long? Why the 38 years? Couldn't the Lord have dealt with this sooner? Why is that the case? Well, let me suggest three possible reasons. Three possible reasons why we are not delivered, or at least delivered like we would hope to be or think we should be delivered from the predicaments that we find ourselves in. Well, first of all, sin can certainly be a factor. Sin can hinder God's blessing. And again, I remind you, Jesus said to this man, go and sin no more. His condition was a direct result of his sin. He was in that plight because he sinned. And so we have to take that into consideration. And the way to deal with the trouble is to deal with the sin, to get the sin taken care of, to repent of the sin, to turn away from the sin. I think another possibility why we don't seem to see the Lord helping like we would think that he would or want him to do is because in some cases we're looking to the wrong source for help. I want you to notice what the man said. He said in verse 7, in response to the question of Jesus, do you want to be made well? Look what he said. He said, I have no man to put me into the pool. He was looking for the help that only God could give from men. And this is something that we do as well. And I think we are very inclined to do it today, probably more prone to do it today than in previous generations as Christians. But the Bible over and over reminds us, vain is the help of man. But then thirdly, there's the possibility of limiting God to one method only of helping us or dealing with us or delivering us or whatever the situation might be. And we see that with the man as well. In his mind, the only possible hope for him was to get into the pool. And so here comes Jesus and he says, "Would you like to be made well? I have nobody to put me in the pool." In his thinking process, there was only one possibility for his situation. He had to get into that pool and he had to be the first one there. But Jesus had a completely different plan. Get up, take up your bed, go home. You see, it can happen to us too. We can be in a place where we're limiting God because we're thinking only in terms of one possible remedy to the problem or one answer to the situation, and we're not considering that God might have an entirely different method by which he wants to deal with the situation. And so how do we find out? We've got to go to him and we've got to seek him. The question that Jesus asked the man is a question that he is still asking people today. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be delivered from your distress? Do you want peace in the midst of the storm? Do you want to overcome that fear? Do you want comfort in your grief? And as he would pose those questions to us, he would then impart to us the means by which that will take place. But here's the thing. We have to respond. Do you want to be made well? Now, when Jesus asked the man that question, and then the man came to understand that Jesus had a method by which he was going to make him well, that man had a choice. Jesus said, "Rise up, take up your bed, and walk." The man could have understandably argued, "I can't rise up. That's my problem. You don't understand. I've been in this condition for 38 years. I have no strength in my legs. I can't stand." He could have come up with all kinds of reasons why that was an impossibility. But here's the reality. The reality is, when God says to do something, his commandment is his enabling. You see, his very word of instruction brings power to obey. And this man, somehow he understood that. Somehow he knew that that was the case. When Jesus said, "Rise," he understood that he could do it because of that authoritative word from Jesus. And so when we come to the Lord in hard distresses, and the Lord says to us, "Would you be made well?" he will then give us instruction, and we've got to obey it. Don't think to say, "Oh no, but I can't do that. Oh, I can never be freed from that because you don't understand how long I've been involved in that." There are all kinds of things. You know, today, Christians are buying into this really pathetic idea that there are certain sins that God somehow can't deal with and that you just have to live that way. And in some cases, they're trying to reduce the sin factor in some of those kinds of behaviors. Well, that's probably not really sin. You know, it's probably more of a disease or something like that. That's what's happening. But they're taking away from God's ability to deal with the things that are destroying lives. Jesus says, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And again, the commandment is the enabling. So as we come to him, as I said, he's going to give us similar kind of instruction. Instruction, of course, that is relevant to our particular situation. And so as the Lord says to you, do you want to be made well? And you say, yes, Lord, I do. I want to be made well. He might then say to you, wait and trust me. Wait and trust me. That's a command. Oh, but I can't wait. You know, waiting is one of the hardest things in the world, isn't it? It's so hard to wait. And I think in our day and age and in our culture, it's become harder and harder to wait because we live in an instant world and we get used to having things so instantly. And so when my cable internet was taking 30 seconds to load a page, I was just flipping out. Oh, what is this taking so long? What is this thing doing? You know, you hit the thing, you're unplugging this and that and the other thing, because I can't wait 30 seconds. I want to wait. I just want it instantly. I want to hit that other address and I want it, boom, I want it there lightning fast. So I have to go down. I have to get a new cable box. I have to have the guy come over and I have to tell him, look, this thing is too slow. Because that's the way it is for us these days, isn't it? You know, or if I'm driving along and I happen to get behind somebody that's a little bit slow, I find myself just having a conniption. What are they thinking? You know, the speed limit's 40. They're going 50. And I'm frustrated. But that's the way we are. And then God says, wait. And you're like, you got to be kidding. Wait. What do you mean? I don't know how to do that. But you know, God will call us to wait. He'll call us to wait and trust him. You see, the reality is God won't always deliver us immediately from difficult circumstances. Now, I'm not talking about sinful circumstances here. Of course, we've already dealt with the sin issue. If sin's the contributing factor to your problem, you got to repent of sin immediately. There's no process. God didn't say, hey, wait, don't deal with that sin yet. We'll deal with it somewhere down the road. No. I'm talking about things that aren't connected to sin. But God will say to us, wait and trust me. Believe me. Stand on my word. Now, if somebody says to you, wait there till I come, and you wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, but they don't come, and you leave, and then they come, did you wait? You didn't wait. Because it said, wait till I come. And you might have waited till 2 minutes before they got there, but you left. And therefore, in the end, you didn't wait. God tells us to wait on him, and in my experience, he never really does give any sort of a timetable. He just simply says, wait. Wait and trust me. Sometimes God says, pray and believe me. That's the instruction. Pray about this situation. Believe me to work in this situation. Sometimes God says, forgive and forget. Oh, but I can't forgive that person, Lord. You don't understand. Oh, what they did to me, I can't forgive. God says, forgive. That means you can do it. Because he gives you the grace. He gives you the power to forgive. Sometimes God says, get up and go. That's the instruction. You see, we're talking about all kinds of different possible issues here. But we're talking about issues of difficulty. Trying times and circumstances that Jesus is aware of your situation, and he is going to help you. But remember, he is going to help you. Look to him. Trust him. Call upon him. Believe him. You've got a Bible. Read it. And let God speak to you. And say, I lay hold of that promise. I receive that. I take that. God, I'm going to make that mine. You can do that. That's why God's given us his word. So we stand on his word. We look to him. And then we also want to be in that place where we're not limiting God to one particular way that he's got to do it. Because that's where a lot of real frustration can come in, because you're looking at the situation and you're thinking, now, this is what the Lord needs to do here, and that's not happening. But you see, the fact of the matter is, God has a lot of different possibilities, things that you're not even aware of, ways in which he might work the situation out. So that necessitates an openness on our part. So we need to know that God sees our plight. He knows our state. He is going to help us, but we have got to leave his methods up to him and not try to force him to go in a certain direction. The fact of the matter is, you can try all you want to force him to go in a certain direction, but he's not going to go there. God is not directed by men. He's not instructed by us on how he's going to accomplish his purposes. He already knows what he's going to do. And we've got to come into harmony with what he's doing, not try to bring him into conformity to what we think ought to be done. And so we must obey his command. And in doing so, we will be made well too, of whatever our situation is. Now, the promise ultimately that we can all bank on is for spiritual well-being. We don't know when it comes to, let's say, physical affliction. This man was physically afflicted, obviously. He had an illness, and Jesus chose to heal him. Now, you can't really support from the scriptures the idea that God heals everybody of physical affliction. But he does heal some. And so we can hope and pray that he does heal us if we're in that state. But, you know, beyond that, something even better than that, believe it or not, something better than that is spiritual well-being. And that's what we can totally bank on. That's what we can absolutely count on. God is going to take care of me in a spiritual sense. And here's the thing that you need to know. When you are in a state of spiritual well-being, everything else really will be put in its right order. That is really the top of the list. You see, it's amazing what you can be in the midst of and not even really be affected by it if your spiritual life is healthy. Those other things are just, you know, they're not that big of a deal. I mean, people live with illness. People live with different forms of suffering. People live in states of persecution. How do they survive it? How do they make it? How do they go on like that? They go on like that because their soul is healthy. They're spiritually healthy. And in that spiritual state of prosperity, everything else pales in comparison. And that's the thing that we can absolutely depend on from God. That's the thing that you can know for sure. God is going to grant that to me because that is his ultimate desire for me. The other things, I don't know. I have to leave those up to the Lord. It's all part of his divine sovereignty. But I can know this. He promises that things will be well with my soul. And that's what I can bank on. That's what I can lay hold of. And so we look at this man and we see the plight of man. In this one person, we sort of see a whole picture of humanity, man's predicament. He's diseased and no one can help him. There's no man that can help. But we see the plight of man, but then we see the power of God. And Jesus Christ steps into the situation and the whole problem is remedied. And that same Jesus who saw that man in his desperate situation wants to minister to you. Father, we thank you for these wonderful true stories of how you met people through your son Jesus Christ and how you helped the helpless. We need your touch. We want to meet with you. And so, Lord, again, be present here among us to touch, to heal, to forgive, to cleanse, to deliver, to strengthen, to direct, whatever you desire. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Just as Jesus saw the needs of this desperate man by the pool of Bethesda, he also sees our situation and the desperate needs in our lives, and he wants to minister to us and heal us as we wait upon him. We'll continue with more of our study in the Gospel of John in our next lesson, but right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message or would like to order a copy for a friend or a loved one, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Plight of Man and the Power of God. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3231. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.